Blog Talk Radio.
Like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion, like how a single word can make a heart. Because we're going to talk about something of fun, mainly. Well, okay, Right Act Repertory is producing a play called, an off-Broadway play called Wicked Frozen. Yes, you get it. It's a combination of Wicked and Frozen, and it's a parody. And we are going to be talking with two of the people, mainly, let's see, we're going to have Toby Singer, who's the musical director and book and the book and lyricist person, Zoe Farmingdale. So, I'm sorry, you know, it had to it's commercial time, so, you know, I mean, somebody's got to sponsor this show, but, oh, here we go, drooling again. All
what
right.
Would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
No, yes, and you can get these brownies at www.brownies.com, and they also have these soft cookies, by the way. And you know, if you're into the Girl Scout mint thing, far better. That doesn't really, you can, okay, let's get away from this, because otherwise I'm going to have to go and grab a brownie and a glass of milk, and I don't want to do that. So let's, we're going to start our show, and we got Toby and Zoe.
Are we both
I'm
on here?
I'm Zoe. Oh, I think we're both here.
Hello.
Amazing. How are you doing, Merle?
Okay, just fine. Now, before we go into the parody part, for anybody who hasn't seen both or either show, give us like the basic plot of what Wicked is about and what Frozen is about.
Zoe, you wanna take this?
I can try. Well, Wicked is a pretty complicated story, actually, and I haven't watched it over and over again. But basically, it's sort of the story before The Wizard of Oz happened that involves mainly the Wicked Witch that we all know and the Glinda the Pink Witch that you may remember from The Wizard of Oz, and it takes the story of those two witches and how they used to know each other and the school that they went to and the struggles that they had, mostly focusing on the one who's kind of green and she feels like people don't like her and she hopes that the wizard will kind of guide her and save her. And then there is a ton of other stuff that happens. So that's kind of the nutshell version. And then Frozen is a recent Disney animated movie, and it focuses on two sisters, one of whom has magical powers to freeze things that she has a lot of trouble controlling, and that causes some problems, especially when she has to keep those powers a secret from her sister. And then there's a whole lot of things that happen with some princes and a journey and some falling in love and deception and things like that. So those are kind of the nutshells of those two stories, I would say.
Okay, so now what made you decide to take these two to put them together as a parody?
Well, back in 2014, Zoe and I were talking about writing a show for the West Village Musical Theater Festival, and we were thinking to ourselves, what would be fun to write? And this was just, I think, after Frozen and the creators of Frozen had won a Grammy, actually, for, or maybe it was the Oscar for Best Original Song for Let It Go. And so the song was sort of fresh in our mind, and, you know, we're talking about what kind of show we wanted to write, and it occurred to us that Frozen and Wicked were actually fairly similar in a certain kind of way. And, you know, they have these sort of pairs of sisters that are, you know, one is a little bit more popular and effusive, and one has, you know, a secret, whatever the case might be. And then, and, you know, and then we found that there were these other sort of weird parallels, including the fact that Idina Menzel played a role in both of them, and that the other sister was voiced or done by somebody named Kristen, which we thought was kind of funny. And so we got talking about it, and we realized that it would be a really funny thing to try to mash up together and paradise. And what was even better was the fact that at that moment, neither of us had actually seen either source materials at that time. So we sort of wrote it kind of with like little snippets of understanding of what the shows were about, and then sort of filled in the gaps.
So, I guess I see a character name of Adele Dazeem.
Yes.
Is that what he called?
That was the takeaway, so you're exactly right.
Good old John Travolta gave
us
that.
I was watching at the time, and I'm going, who the hell is he talking about? When he said the name, I'm going,
well, it turns out he was talking about the character in our show. He gave us that gold.
Yeah.
And it is, we find that it's sort of a an interesting thing in audiences, because there are some people for whom this pop culture joke is totally lost in them 5 years later or whatever it was when that happened. And then there's some people that it's immediate. They're just like, wow, you know, digging that up. But it's fun.
So now let's get into, first of all, you already had the opening night, didn't you? The preview you had on March 25th.
Yeah,
yes.
We had our first preview, and we have another preview this Sunday, but our official opening is Sunday the 8th.
How did the preview go, by the way, on Sunday?
It was fun. We had great energy. We had a nice big house. The performers were really excited to share everything. Toby and I were excited, maybe a little nervous. And, yeah, we got a great response. And what's really, and I'm sure we'll talk more about this, but what's really special, we think, about this show is that it's crazy, kooky, absurd, fun, kind of bizarre. But it also has a lot of heart. It's also a real story with emotion that everybody can connect to. And so you not only go in laughing and having a great time, but you are kind of surprised because you get to experience some catharsis as well. So we had a great response. Well, that was exciting.
Did you find that the audience got it?
Yeah.
I mean,
well, I
you
think
know,
that there's kind of, yeah, go ahead, Toby.
Yeah.
No, it's okay. I mean, I think that we found that a lot of people came to the show, you know, in a certain sense, you know, certainly expecting to experience, like, a lot of these parody elements, you know, a lot of the absurd comedy. These are things that they got, and, you know, I think they thought it delivered on. But for a lot of people, I think sort of the heart and the sort of emotional weight that of the journey that these characters go on was unexpected but welcomed. That was the feeling we got.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And it's a cool thing because we, as we mentioned, we originally wrote the show as Wicked Frozen, a musical parody mashup of Wicked and Frozen, written by two people who've never seen Wicked or Frozen. So from the get-go, we were excited to appeal to audiences who were really big fans of Wicked and or Frozen, but also that we would give a great experience to people who had never seen either one. So I think that in our version now, what we hope that we've done really well is that we have some really specific, funny, ridiculous, bizarre references to things that happen in Wicked or Frozen. And the people who are super fans of those shows will come in and totally get those and understand them. And then we have some, and hopefully those are funny to the rest of our audience as well, but even if they're lost on some of the people, there's so many other things in the show to enjoy that have really nothing special to do with Wicked or Frozen. Everyone can enjoy if they've never seen or never even heard of Wicked or Frozen, that they could enjoy.
Oh, that's good. No, that'll be interesting. I saw Wicked way back when and barely remember anything from the show. Except
well,
for
maybe
that one
we'll
song, Gravity, because I keep hearing it all the time. You know, but and in terms of the songs themselves, would people be hearing, like, in other words, a parody of the song Gravity kind of thing, that type of thing?
Of course. Yeah, I mean, I can speak to that a little bit. So I won't give away all of the fun sort of discoveries, but, for instance, there's a song in our show called Don't Hold On, which is our Let It Go parody.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a song for Defying Gravity, our song is called I'm Disobeying the Laws of Physics, which is
okay.
A lot of fun. takes a similar sort of, you know, place in the show, you could say. There's a number of other ones. I'm trying to think which one. Zoe, which one? Oh, a good example. There's a song Popular.
Yeah.
From Wicked, and our song is called Social Success. But the point is that lot of them are sort of inspired by the source material. The song style, the grooves, the genre, if you will, oftentimes sort of reflects the original, but they are very much homages. It's not like we just took words and switched them around, kind of thing. So.
And they're really fun,
yeah.
Catchy songs. I mean, I'm so grateful to work with Toby, who's such a great songwriter. And they're songs that, you know, you can come away humming and singing as their own thing. That don't, you know, they're Wicked Frozen songs. Like, they're our songs from our show that
right.
may refer to these other songs, but they are so, like, their own entity in their own right. And they're really fun, great, catchy songs.
Yeah.
Are you
going to...
Are you going to come out with a CD of it?
Yeah, the plan is to record a new cast album sometime late in the spring for hopefully release, you know, again in the spring or into the summer.
That's right.
We did a cast recording of.
I forgot that that it's springtime. Looking out the window or whatever.
Oh, yeah, it's easy to forget right now.
yeah, right.
Yes. It's not. I'm up in Toronto right now,
yeah.
And it is gray and awful here too. So hopefully soon, we'll get a little spring. We made a cast recording with an older version of the show back in the day, but we're very excited to with this very talented, very musically sound, such just hilarious bunch of folks to make a new album in a few months.
Oh, that's great. Curious, by the way, any of the people in the cast, I'm asking this because I write for two newspapers. I want to see which, are any of them either live or have grown up or something in Queens County and Queens here in New York?
Some of our cast do actually currently live in Queens. Yeah. So.
Really?
Yeah.
We got.
They do.
I need this info. Like who? Do you know offhand?
I believe that Megan Wells lives in. Does she live in Astoria? She lives in Astoria. Yeah.
She's definitely in Astoria, and so is Kathleen Armenti. She's definitely in Astoria.
And Natalie Sullivan lives somewhere in Queens, though I can't remember exactly where.
Great. Actually, this is perfect because with the newspapers I have, one of them, which is the Times Ledger, likes to focus only on people, on things that have to do with Queens County, whereas in the Queens Times, I can write about any place I want, which is why in terms of when I come to finally come to the show and review the show, I can wind up putting an article into the Times Ledger versus the Queens Times or even both.
Well, that's fantastic. And those actresses,
awesome.
The first two that we mentioned, have actually been with us through the entirety of the developmental process since the beginning of the show. So, and those are two of the ones we mentioned who live in Queens. So that's perfect for you guys.
Good. Okay, well, I got that part done. So so let's see. So you open up on April 8th, which I already, what am I going to sing? Oh, April 8th. No, okay. No, that's too much in the whole weekend. No, I think I have something I got to see. I'll probably, maybe the following weekend I'll come to see it. We got time. It's running through July 22nd. Should I read off what it says over here, what it's about, or you want to tell me, say, what Wicked Frozen, I'll say it. What I have here is a high-energy parody musical mashup celebrating and skewering two wildly successful pop culture phenomena with over a dozen amazing original songs. When Adele Dazeem and her teacher Kristen Chenoweth become trapped in a Boston classroom during a freak blizzard, things take a turn for the absurd as Adele sets off on a journey through the magical land of Scandinofindel? Is that it?
Oh, pretty close, pretty close.
Yeah.
Scandinofindel.
Scandinofindel.
Okay. Wicked Frozen is not only a subversive satire on six cups of coffee, but also a reminder that even when things may only be okay, it's the people around us that truly matter. Oh, okay. Of course, being trapped in a Boston classroom during a freak blizzard, since we had enough of these going on in New York in the last month, people will really get attached to it.
Exactly. They'll be able to relate. And once we get to June in the run, people will be excited to go see a blizzard when it's so hot outside. So perfect.
Yeah, they'll say, oh, please, open up air conditioning now. Throw a snowball at me. I need it. I know, it always happens. It's like when it's really cold out, you want it to be warm. And when it's cold, my attitude is you could always put on a lot of clothing when it's cold. You can't take your skin off when it's hot. There's just so much that one can do, I got one of you is in Toronto right now. Where's the other one?
Well, I'm in Brooklyn. But I live in Los Angeles most of the time. I lived in New York for a while, and funny you should speak about warm and cold. I thought I'm gonna go somewhere a little warmer, but I've come back to New York often to come work on this project, and I'm so happy to be here to be able to be kind of. I lived in Park Slope before, and I'm back in Park Slope, be able to use so many great performers that we've known for a while on this project that we've been working on so hard for so many years.
Yeah, and
I live in Brooklyn normally.
I'm just normally living in Toronto.
You just happen to be in Toronto.
Yeah, I'm here
like
for Passover. I love Toronto.
Oh, you're in Toronto for Passover.
My wife is from here. Yeah, we're just here for a couple of days, and then I'll be back to the city next week. And by next week, I mean for Sunday when we have the show.
Better.
I just did an article on Passover to give alternate recipes for things, it's like every year, it's like, comes out the gefilte fish. All right, here's the matzo ball soup. So I did a whole thing on some alternatives, including sushi.
Sushi. Well, now we can eat rice, right? So sushi is in the mix.
Well, here's the story with the rice. I was really trying to find out about it. You can eat rice because the Sephardic Jews eat rice. That's where that comes from, and it's allowed. It's just that, they push it toward the Ashkenazic, so, you don't eat rice. Make sure that you have the damn matzah so you can get constipated. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we used to go to a Sephardic family for Passover as a kid, and it was so exciting because we could have so many more things that we weren't usually allowed.
Yeah.
We felt like we were being bad.
My wife and I eat way too much rice. Yeah.
With the rice, I'm not clear though if you have to buy rice that says kosher for Passover. That's what I don't know.
I think it depends on your own personal.
I know. It's like I'm doing this whole thing about with chocolate, with places that have chocolate and the chocolate is certified kosher, but you can't have it for Passover because it doesn't say kosher for Passover. And I don't understand. Please?
Right, that's why we always have those little lollipop things. Those chocolate lollipop things.
Oh,
hey,
God.
These are kosher for Passover. Yeah, right? Delicious.
Those things are the best. Oh, I just got excited remembering I get to have those now. Those are the best things.
Wait, those fruit slices. Oh, man. Here we go.
Oh, no.
You don't know what the best is. First of all, did you hear my commercial on the brownies?
Yeah.
Certified kosher. They're certified kosher brownies.
Oh.
Oh, God.
Do they make Passover ones?
And I happen to be a chocoholic, so I know where the best chocolate is.
Oh, good. Me too.
And there is, by the way, there's a company in Brooklyn, just to let you know, that does it from beans to bar.
Oh, cool.
Just, you'll Google chocolate Brooklyn. Chocolate Brooklyn, it'll come up. That's all you need to do. But anyway, so are you looking to get this to Broadway? What do you think?
Let's do it.
Yeah, sounds great. Yeah. I mean, I think we're looking to have as wide an audience as we can muster, get to see the show, and whatever context that is, that's the best. We want people to experience this show and enjoy it as much as we've enjoyed creating it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're so grateful that Right Act has taken the project on, and so we're happy to be working with them. And what we hope is, we go from, we're doing Sunday nights right now, and we would love maybe that to expand at some point, and so more people get to see it, and we have more evenings that are maybe even not school nights that eventually people can come see it. So I think the hope is a big off-Broadway audience. So.
Who's handling the PR or marketing? Will you have somebody?
Yeah, it's Stephen Sunderland. With Sun Productions, I believe it's his company.
Oh, yes, that's where I got it from. Okay. That's right. Where I got the information in the first place. I'm asking because I wanted to find out if you guys wanted to do a trade of ad space for tickets.
Oh, you'll have to talk to him about that. Yeah, just give him
a
buzz.
To Stephen.
Okay, I'll give them a buzz if they want to do that. I do that with the Queens Times.
Cool.
My boy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we have this thing. It's like we try to do this just to, so we can give it out to people who may not have the money to go see a show or may enjoy it. Or, you know, we do things like that just to be nice, really.
Yeah.
But I wanted, you know, I want to do with it with a show that I think people would love to see. You know, that's why.
Yeah.
And it sounds like I'll be coming to this one.
I hope so.
Excellent.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I don't schlep to Manhattan too much, but this one
we're
I will.
And we're very honored.
it'll be interesting because you know what? I'm going to see a community theater group tonight doing. Ever hear of the show called Title of Show?
Oh,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love that show.
I saw that back in, I think, 2008 that I saw the show.
Yeah.
And now they're doing it. They're doing it. And I have remembered the progression of that one. I think that went from, like, I don't know if that went to Broadway or not. But it went. I know it moved up from whatever it was to at least off-Broadway.
The New York Musical Theater Festival. And
It did make it to Broadway eventually, and it was so funny to see them sort of alter the narrative of the show to reflect like its new status at each path, at each spot along the path. I stumbled into that show on its closing night on Broadway, totally by chance.
Oh my goodness!
And I had never heard of it. It was an incredible experience because it was this community that they had just built over a couple of years on this progression. And it was really fantastic.
Yeah. We could see how this one goes. And then listen, you could always bring it out to Queens too. There's a lot of, you know, anyway, I have, my brain always goes into marketing anyhow. And
hey,
pee
we'll
off everything. That's, you know, it's a combination because of being as a journalist, I start looking at things of what would I want to write about. So in terms of the PR in my brain, I say, well, if I received something that said this or this kind of thing, it would interest me, you know. And then I continue on, and then I start. Well, I'll probably introduce you to other people or something like that. Okay. I just get that way. But I'm sure I'm going to enjoy the show. And by the way, if there are things that are really funny, I'm just going to just warn you, I'm not the kind of person that holds in laughter. I just,
well, please come to the show and come back often then.
We like that.
Did you see the play that goes wrong yet?
I did. I got to see it. I was here for a trip. Did you see it, Toby?
I did, actually. It was really fun.
Yeah. It's so fun.
I saw it twice and I screamed with laughter. I was like just screaming. I just, you know, I just thought it was the funniest play I have ever seen. But I think because my background happens to be in show business. Because of that, I related to all of that as well. But the timing, it was the timing.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the fact that they were going through this whole play that regardless of what happened, whatever the script said, they're going to do it, say it, you know. So I'll be talking with you guys about, you know, I'll set up when I can come and see the show. And I'll also let you know, you know, what it is as far as the Times Ledger. Now, let me just jot down again. You said Kathleen lives in Queens?
Sure, Kathleen Armenti.
And you said Megan?
Megan Wells.
Megan
mm-hmm.
Wells, yeah.
And you had one other person, did you say?
Natalie Sullivan. Yeah,
oh, Natalie
Sullivan.
Sullivan. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm looking at thing I put up here for the radio show, so I see the names. Okay. So
okay.
That would be just, that's great. Okay, anything you'd like to add? Or push about yourselves? You want to talk about your background? Anything you want?
Well, anything you want to know, we're happy to disclose. So if you have any more questions for us that are burning within you that you think everyone would want to know about?
Well, what I'm going to do is I probably will get back with you because I want to, we could talk about, like, in terms of the people that are in your cast, the people that had followed you. I mean, this wasn't like, okay, now we're about to cast this and let's just do an open call or...
Well, when Toby mentioned the West Village Musical Theater Festival, that's when we originally did it in 2014, and we held auditions, and most of the people who auditioned were people that we did not know who were auditioning for the festival itself. And then I think we just reached a little farther to see if there were people that we knew, and we ended up with a cast of, I think, six, and
yeah,
originally, Toby has played the music for all prior performances, and I'm an actor as well, and so I was acting in the prior incarnations of this. So we cast the show with six or seven people, and then that run concluded, and then we expanded it to a full-length version in the fall of 2014. And at that time, some of the roles didn't exist anymore. Some of the roles had been expanded. Some of the roles had changed in what their needs were. So we held a completely new audition, but we gave an opportunity to those who'd been in the show before to just come straight to the callbacks because we already, knew them and were going to decide if they were still the best fit for the role or if there was a different place to put them or whatever. And so we ended up casting that production through a wider call that we put out through some of the bigger actor audition sites so that we got a lot of interest from people who just, who they didn't know us and they heard about the project and they said, oh, I loved Wicked all my life or what, whatever brought them to us. So then we had that cast in 2014 and 2015. And then we've been through a lot of readings and things and the script has metamorphosized so much and there's been even more of the characters growing, expanding, being deleted, changing. All this kind of thing. So when this production came around, it was pretty much the same thing where now that we're working with Right Act, they took care of the audition bulletins and things like that and calling people in. And we also tried to encourage folks to come in who are associated with the comedy community because we are both involved, Toby and I, in the comedy community in various ways. And we just love working with people who are actors, but in addition to that, can create ridiculous characters and think very fast on their feet and on the fly. And so we had some great, great interest in our audition. And we did the same thing where if there were people who were in our prior productions who were interested in being in the show, we gave them the opportunity to come straight to callbacks. And fortunately, we have a really good relationship with those people that we've continued along with. And we still had them come to the callback. We still had them look into, we tried to figure out if there was the right place to put them, but we also were happy to find that they were, right for certain roles and that we could continue working with them. And then in addition, we got some folks that we had never, ever met before. And that was really cool that our reach was that far that we got some really, really talented people who've done such cool things to come in and be a part of our show. And even further than that, there were a couple people who saw the show before who are now in the show. So when we did one particular musical number, they said, I remember watching this. I can't believe I get to be in this now. So that is such a cool experience to hear. So,
Just to add to that, and this is something that I just believe in so strongly, I feel like successful works of art, whether it's theater or otherwise, are built upon sort of like a slowly growing community of this kind of grassroots thing. And that's what this sort of feels like. You know, there are people that have been along with us since the beginning. There are people that kind of came in at various stages, and now we've got some new blood. And at each stage, we just sort of gather more, you know, for whom this show speaks to them, that means something to them, has something to say that's important. And it's just so exciting to be able to, with, you know, with John Lant and with Right Act, be able to do that again and, you know, expand the purview one more time and make the circle even bigger.
That's great. Well, as I said, I'm looking forward to this. And
yeah.
I'll let you know if there's more that I need regarding when I'm writing up the article.
Sure.
Yeah,
and then one other
little secret
sure. is that we all actually, we all like each other, and we like really had a lot of laughs in rehearsal. Sometimes you watch a show on stage and, you know, some of the actors are friends, some aren't, some are in the fold, some are out. We are like, we love all being together, which is really the ideal, and it's so cool. So that's like also going on for us, which is so fun and exciting.
Good. That makes it even better.
Definitely.
Absolutely. For sure.
And you're all supportive of each other.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we actually, on some of the performers in the show perform at a comedy theater called The Magnet, and had some performances on Tuesday. And those of us who were not in that show, a lot of us came to go see them perform. So that was, it's like we all try to support each other outside of the show as well.
Oh, good.
Yep.
All right. Well, I'll ask the PR people for, like, bios of everybody.
Yeah.
When I, you know, but I'm going to, after I get off, finish the show, I'm going to actually call up the Times Ledger and pitch the article to them first.
Amazing. Wonderful.
Great.
And as soon as I can get to see the show, I'll let you know.
Great.
Let us know when you're there.
Any of your listeners can follow us on social media. They can go to our Instagram to get some inside story. We're at Wicked Frozen, Twitter at Wicked Frozen, and we have a Facebook page, and our website is wickedfrozen.com, so that's pretty easy to remember.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for being on the show.
Of course.
Thanks for having us.
And,
yeah.
And who is that? I may have you guys back again. At another
Yay.
Point.
We'd love to come
we'd
back.
We'd love to, yeah.
This way we can, you know, in case you want to push it, like, you know, this is going all the way to July. You know, we got another, like, in 2 months if you want to come back and talk some more about how it's going, or, you know, if it looks like I'm starting to think about whether you might want to go to Queen's Theater in the Park. Have you ever been there, Queen's Theater?
Cool.
I don't think I've been to that theater. Yeah.
Queen's Theater is, well, it used to be called Queen's Theater in the Park at the Flushing Meadow Corona Park.
Okay.
This theater, it's like, oh, you would love it. This is, yeah. And it might, I'm thinking about that because, you know, with the people who even live in Queens and whatever, it's, well, you know, I'll talk to them. We'll see, you know. I'll have a little chat. Okay. Well, again, thanks again, and we'll chat another time, and I guess I'll see you guys when I come to see the show.
Absolutely. Sounds thanks
great.
So much, Merle.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome. Have a it's great
to talk
day.
To you. Right. Have a great, you
yeah.
too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And Aziz and Pesach. Okay, so... well, I'm going to end the show, of course. I'm going to end this early here. I was just looking for my kind of click off, and I know with the... okay. I'm going to just end the show with the... where is my intro song? my music intro, because I like to end it with that one. That's all. All right, so everybody have a great day, evening, afternoon, whatever it is. And I'll see you soon. Oh, I think I might have Tony Orlando for tomorrow, by the way. Yes.